B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Anthony Gargano off today. I'm Andrew Salchunas alongside Jamie Lynch. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
All right, birds are in first place.
They're a first place football team,
even with that 1-2-1 record.
And now, like I always said, you got to play for the tie when you get the chance.
How about that?
And now we get to talk some more birds on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, the great Ron Jaworski joins the show. Ron, how are you today?
Guys, great to be with you. Hey, you're right, first place.
Hey,
all that matters.
We'll take it, Jaws.
I'll start you off with a quick hitter, Jaws. What do you make of a 1-2-1 first place team? Eagles, obviously, with all the issues they have, but you look around what's going on with the NFC East as well. You know, just quick hitter, what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a bad division right now. I mean, anyone that has watched the Giants, Washington, or Dallas, you know, we all watch Eagles in this town, but if you've seen those other games, it's just a bad division right now. I mean, you know, the Eagles get a win. Certainly wasn't pretty. It was gift wrapped by Nick Mullins. Let's be realistic about this.
Sure.
He gave the game away, just like we saw Brian Hoyer on Monday night gave the game away. So if you get that kind of quarterback play, that you're seeing pretty much consistent through this division, although Carson came back at a solid game on Sunday. It wasn't a great game, but it was solid. Didn't turn the football over, which is key. You look at this division right now, you go, oh my goodness. I mean, this could be a 5-10-1. You win in division.
Jeez.
And get a home game. Yeah. And you know what? And I think that's wrong, by the way, guys. When you have that kind of record.
Yeah.
Just because you win a division, you get a home playoff game, which there could be an 11-5 wild card team that would have to go on the road. I don't think it's competitively fair.
Yeah. Jaws, one of the things that seems to be dogging this Eagles offense a lot, because it's deep in the DNA of Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, and that's the screen game. Defenses seem to know when it's coming, how to sniff it out, and how to stop it. Is there a tell in this Eagles offense? Is it a lack of changing something up, as minute as it could be? How do they fix their screen game? And maybe, is there a tell that they're sending the other team?
No. Number one, it's lack of talent. That's it. I mean, Jason Peters, in his heyday, was the best left tackle in the game getting out on those screens. He was phenomenal. I called him a dancing bear. When he got on the perimeter, he was knocking people down like bowling pins. You know, Lane Johnson, right tackle, was awesome on the perimeter. You know, he's obviously hurt. You can tell he's laboring, but he's gutting it out. I give him incredible credit for that. And really the only staple right now is Jason Kelce, who is still very good getting out on the edge and getting out on the perimeter and knocking those bowling pins down. But, you know, if your tackles can't get out and get that kick out block, you're never going to get the screen game going. So to me, that's the number one issue.
So, Jaws, obviously, with that going on, with the offensive line in tatters, having a ton of issues with injuries, and you're playing with a ton of backups. Jordan Mailata made his first start. I thought he did a pretty good job, but Jordan Mailata makes his first start in his NFL career. How do you take away from Carson Wentz in that Week 4 win? I mean, even though the stats weren't really huge, 193 yards, one touchdown, one interception, I watched a guy that I thought kind of willed this team into winning a game like he did the final 4 weeks of the season last year. What did you make of Carson Wentz's performance?
Yeah, he was rock solid. Number one thing, he has one turnover, the interception, was kind of a little bit of a fluke play. And by the way, he had Greg Ward wide open down the field. If it wouldn't have been tipped, it would have got to him. It would have been a big play. I think Carson basically played well. And I thought Doug put him in a much better position this week. They used a little more movement. They got him outside on the edge of the defense. He was taking the running opportunities when they presented themselves. And by the way, I'm on record with you guys through the years. I'm not crazy about my quarterback running downfield, taking those hits. But I think this team was in a position, a must-win type game with a battered and bruised offensive line. And one time I'm looking out there, I see the only guy that I recognize as a starter was Jason Kelce. So clearly, you had one starter on that offensive line. I think Doug realized he was going to have to use Carson on the edge and use it more than he would normally like to. And it worked. Carson got to the edge and made some plays. So I got to give him all the credit in the world. The game plan was very good. Carson ran very well. But I think there's one thing that still bothers me a little bit right now, guys, is they're getting these third and long situations. You got to have that equilibrium. I always talk about balance and run pass. I think the running game has to be going a little better because they've been their third down has been third and long, and that's the hardest down in football to complete. That's when you get all the craziness out of the defense. The team's got to run the ball on first and second down and get in those more manageable third and longs. And when I look at the stats, they rank 28th in third down average distance. Their average third down is 7.6 yards. That's hard to convert on a consistent basis in the National Football League.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Speaking of Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Now, I want to ask you, Jaws, because you've told the story 1,000 times about you and Harold Carmichael working constantly all the time to the point where you could probably throw him a route in the dark because you knew where he was going to be because the amount of practice you guys had. Now, when it comes to Carson Wentz, he has had so many receivers in his early career, and it seemed like at the end of the season last year, those final 4 weeks, we saw him play his best football because it almost looked like he knew who his receivers were going to be. I don't care that they were practice squad players. He knew that they were going to be there because at that point, Alshon Jeffrey was done for the year. We knew DeSean Jackson was done for the year. Nelson Agholor was done for the year. Now we're going to go into week two again with your starting wide receivers hurt. But we saw him connect with a guy like Travis Fulgham. We've seen him connect with Greg Ward. We've seen him connect with Deonte Burnett in the past. Could we see Carson continue to play a little bit better, knowing that these receivers will be out there at least for the next couple of weeks?
Well, I sure hope so. And obviously, last year, those last four games, it was an incredible stretch for Carson Wentz because, what he was playing with, were basically guys off the street and practice squad players. And, he just uplifted the football team. And to a certain degree, he did that again against the 49ers. And he's going to have to continue to do that based on the injuries to this offense at the wide receiver spot. And, you guys know I look at the tape, and I didn't see a whole lot of great route running and beating of the secondary of the 49ers last week. So there was a lot of blanket coverage, and this Steelers secondary this week is very good. So Carson's going to have to be spot-on accurate with his throws this week.
Jaws, two-part question here for you. One, is Miles Sanders being used enough? And two, did you agree with him not being on the field with a potential closeout of a first-down situation on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. I'm not sure what's going on with Miles Sanders, but he doesn't look like the same back, that he was a year ago. I'm not seeing the quickness. I mean, the guy's a tough runner. I think he's a phenomenal football player. He just, there doesn't seem to be an edge with him right now, and again, that the lateral agility that I think is so important for the explosive plays, that jump cut to the outside. I'm just not seeing it so far. Now, his straight ahead power running has been good when there's a hole there, but he's not making people miss. He's not getting to the perimeter for the explosive play. So something is amiss in Miles Sanders' game right now.
Now, Jaws, I got one more question for you, and it's basically our topic of the day today. And there's a lot of news going on in the NFL with COVID-19, and we know that there's already been games postponed. There's been games that have been moved either a day or they've been moved weeks. And the Eagles are actually going to be facing a team that was affected by it in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now the Eagles, you could say, are affected by it because the Pittsburgh Steelers are coming off of an early bye that they weren't supposed to have. Ben Roethlisberger, older quarterback, but has been playing well. Now he gets an extra week to sort of rejuvenate his body. And James Conner was hurt. He's going to get an extra week to be a little more healthy. As a football man, we always hear about next man up mentality, but this is a lot different with the COVID virus. It's not an ACL injury. It's not a knee injury. It's not an ankle injury. Our question for the audience today is whether or not there's almost like an asterisk next to this season. If this continues, I want to ask you, Jaws, how do you feel about that?
I would put an asterisk by this season. There's no doubt, you know, anyone with half a brain coming into this season with a pandemic worldwide and, you know, what's happening in the United States alone, you knew this was not going to be a normal season. You know, and I started kind of talking about that when players began to opt out, you know, of playing this season. And literally every team has been impacted by that in some way, shape, or form. Clearly, you know, a break for Pittsburgh, getting a week off before they play the Eagles. They wanted to play last week. There's no question they wanted to play. And you know, why I say a break for the Eagles, because the Titans are a physical football team. They want to pound it. I mean, defensively, they fly around. So it would have been a game where you would expect the Steelers to come in a little banged and bruised. Now they're going to come in fresh. And you mentioned their players that have, you know, James Conner and Ben Roethlisberger and guys like that have been nicked a little bit. The wide receiving core with Johnson, they'll be healthy. So, you know, these guys are going to be healthy coming in this game with, you know, another week of preparation for the Eagles, freshen their bodies up. It makes it a tough one for the Eagles. So I would agree this season is not going to be normal. I'm just hoping and praying that, you know, this season can continue, because there's no guarantees right now. No guarantee in this pandemic what tomorrow will bring.
Absolutely. Jaws, last one from me personally. This Steelers defense is their bread and butter. They're why they're a decent football team right now, with guys like TJ Watt and Hayward and Devin Bush and Bud Dupree and, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick back there. What is the key to the Eagles offense? You know, I don't think anybody thinks they righted the ship last weekend, but it was slightly better. What's the key to beating this aggressive and, frankly, really good Steelers defense?
Well, the Steelers still are a football team that hangs their hat on defense. You know, you can go back to the history of the Steelers and the Rooney family. You know, they're a little bit of old school football. Maybe on the offensive side, Ben slinging it around a little more, but, you know, they want to get after the quarterback. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, Mailata played very solid last week, but, you know, the 49ers without Bosa and all their edge pass rushers, weren't able to take advantage of inexperience. I'll guarantee you, they're going to put those guys, their hand in the ground, and they're going to try to get to the edge of Mailata and Lane Johnson from that. They are excellent edge rushers. So this is going to be a game where the offensive line is going to have to, you know, bow their back, run the ball a little more, and run the ball effectively, stay out of those third and long, those known situations. I think that will be the key to the Eagles. Their offensive line has to come up with a big game and protect Carson Wentz.
Jaws, thanks for joining the show as always. Now, you're not done yet for the day. You have another show to attend to, the Ron Jaworski Show. I believe it is taking place now at Valley Brook Country Club, and I believe you have a special guest as well.
I got Vince Papale, who will be in for the first half hour, and we will be at Valley Brook. And of course, I've got my buddy Merrill Hodge, a former Pittsburgh Steeler, who has wears Steelers underwear, and he's a Yahoo Steeler guy. And Merrill's one of my best friends, so I can have fun with him talking like that.
That's a great guy.
You know, he loves the Steelers. You cut him. He's got that, you know, Steeler black and gold with blood. So we'll have a lively show with Merrill Hodge on the show tonight, and Vince Papale. Vince is just awesome to get on. You know, Vince is not only was an outstanding Eagle, but he does so much in this community.
That's awesome, Jaws. We can't wait to check that out tonight. Valley Brook Country Club, 6 to 7. Ron Jaworski, Vince Papale, and Merrill Hodge. It's going to be awesome. Jaws, thanks as always for coming on.
All right, thanks, guys. Be safe.
Thanks, Jaws.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.